Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everybody. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 212, BFF, comes your way now.
Pete, this is an episode written by BFFs Stephen Lillian and Brian Winbrandt. Those, of course, are your co-showrunners, co-creators, and directed by Annabelle Frost. And Pete, in some show news, the ratings, a 0.8 rating with 6.17 million viewers. That is up, when it comes to the rating portion, way up from last week's series low of a 0.4 rating with 5.3 million viewers. So, started at the regular time, still had some football competition, and still solidly landed a nice viewing audience.
This breaks the 8 o'clock curse for God Friend and Me, and further shows when people know where to consistently expect it, they tune in.
And looking ahead to the schedule, as we've been saying for a while now, the show going on a bit of a break. It will next return, at least new episodes will return all the way in February. That's February 16th. So your Sunday after Valentine's Day, perhaps a rerun between then and now. But yeah, Pete, the 40 days in the desert being 30 plus days with no show.
Well, listen, at least two of those Sundays are Sundays you would want to avoid because of NFL action. I'm speaking, of course, of next Sunday, January 19th. And then you've got on Groundhog Day, February 2nd, you've got the Super Bowl, the big game.
And the Oscars, one of those Sundays as well. So not quite the, oh, they're putting my show out to pasture. It's, you know, they're putting the show up when it can do well
wisely.
In the time slot. What's that?
Wisely.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So though it is some time away, I think some, well, as you say, Pete, some wise scheduling.
Well, what do you say we take a stroll through the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment about this episode? Miles is out for a run in Central Park, but with his name brand headphones on the fritz. He overhears a man in the final stages of a divorce. That said, it's Allie who wants to talk. And back at Miles' apartment, she reveals she's found a lump in her breast. He'll be there for her. They also give a backstory update. Alphonse Jeffries will be at the wedding, and he's thought to be the endpoint of the God account.
At Allie's bar, Trish is excited for everyone to meet her daughter, Julia. And Arthur is excited that Alphonse has come to town early. But let's not spring all this account stuff on him right away, okay? Cut to the party, where first Alphonse arrives, then Julia, then her husband Sam, the man from the park who's getting a divorce. Clearly, the unhappy couple is trying to keep things quiet. And, ding, Miles has a new friend suggestion. It's Trish's daughter.
Arthur's glad everyone has come, and at last, it's almost wedding time. It's also time for the God Squad to jump into action. Miles goes off to chat up Julia. She's heard about the podcast, but is shocked to hear she's the friend's suggestion. She asks for news about the divorce to be kept quiet, as well as their apparent impossibility in having children. Inner cut is Rakesh and Joy talking to Alphonse about their podcast adventures and the New York Sun case.
Miles and Alphonse, or Al as he'd like to be called, talk about Al's investment in countless tech companies. Next up, the God Squad preps ahead of Rakesh and Joy having lunch with Al. Cloning his phone will be easy, as is hacking Julia's insurance records. Hey, that's odd. Julia had an ultrasound and may be pregnant. The next day, Kara's also on board to help out, albeit reluctantly. They tell Julia they know she's pregnant, and Trish is within earshot. What happy news! Except Trish gets told about the forthcoming divorce, and everyone seems to be pressuring Julia to fix her marriage with a baby on the way.
Rakesh and Joy are waiting for lunch with Al, yet he can't make it. But is that, gasp, Sam with a lady friend? At Harlem Episcopal, the Reverend Carver is glad Arthur's back for his wedding, and Allie is given space to pray about her secret. The rest of the wedding party arrives for the impending rehearsal. Miles, then Julia, and everyone are brought up to speed about Sam and Julia's fractured relationship. Later, Miles and Sam grab a beer, with Miles preaching the steady path of marriage. But for Sam, it's all over.
Miles updates Arthur and Trish, feeling unable to save Julia and Sam's marriage. He sees where they met, the bench at Marcus Garvey Park, the same bench where Miles overheard Sam. Miles emphasizes that, while Sam and Julia might not stay married, they might be parents and friends together. Miles dashes to Allie's appointment, and the doctor diagnoses breast cancer, with a variety of options that need to be discussed. In happier news, the story moves to the wedding day, with brother and sister talking about Allie's fears and their desire for the wedding day to go off without a hitch.
Cut to the middle of the ceremony, where lovely vows are exchanged, and they're officially married. At the reception, the happy couple dances, and Miles sees Julia and Sam patch things up by way of her moving with him to his new Silicon Valley job, but as friends. Miles and Kara dance and reflect on the relative win, but still, Allie's cancer weighs on Miles. He can't walk away from the account and needs it to help him with treatment options for Allie. He'll agree to be the prophet and give up love if he can save his sister. Kara understands and says she isn't going anywhere.
Miles and Alphonse finally have their talk, with the former saying he's ready to be the prophet, but Al isn't behind the account. To Miles, this makes no sense. After all, didn't Al have the system hacked to be the God account backdoor? Nope, says Al. Back to last episode's mystery hacker and his apartment, he's gone, leaving only a Queen of Hearts playing card. They've been played by the hacker. That night, Miles reflects on the bumpy road ahead.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, thank goodness, though this is the theory segment, we can put one theory to bed. Finally, the marriage has happened, the couple happy, the couple bound before God and the state of New York, and we got the God Friend of Me wedding that you've been promising all season long.
Listen, you had to have the bumps to make it that much sweeter. We don't get here and to this joyful resolution if not for having come through that. So welcome to network drama in 2019-20. But in terms of seriousness, Matt, let's look at some technology in terms of this episode. So the beginning with Chekhov's stranger in the park there, okay? Miles' AirPods die. Is the God account hacking Apple technology?
I mean, I thought you were proposing that question as a joke, but this is a show that relies less on the coincidence of our real world and has this thing called the God account, where connections that are unseen or strangers in the street, you know, are brought forth as not strangers because of the God account. So I think your question is a very appropriate one. And I guess the answer is maybe. I mean, this is an episode that, you know, some people, and we'll talk about listener comments in a little bit, some people were not crazy with how easy it was, how easy our heroes, and by proxy the show, had access to medical records and things like that. But if we're there on the information end, could the battery algorithm for Miles's name brand AirPods be hacked by the account? It certainly is possible at this point.
When you consider that we've had the wedding now, and correct me if I'm wrong, this was the first mention of a daughter for Trish. And granted, you can decide to suddenly have her have a daughter. And obviously she's going to show up at the wedding, but written out just as quickly, hey, baby on the way and with the soon to be ex-husband moving to San Francisco. So thank you for your contribution to this episode. Maybe we mention you again some other time.
I hadn't quite thought of it through the light of the daughter invented for the story and then quickly dispensed with by the end. But that does seem to be the case. I think it speaks to the larger tension in creating new episodes for this show in terms of you need the circle to be the right size. It can't just be, oh man, it's the parishioner in the front row at dad's church. And next week it's the bodega owner around the corner from Allie's bar. Like, you need a slightly larger sample than that. But it obviously can't be all strangers all the time. So to have this daughter, you know, invented, and I don't think either of us are taking the show to task too greatly. Certainly it wasn't like, oh, I'm a childless person who knows no one else in the city and has never met any other people. You know, that's not Trish, but how about this way, Pete? Let's be optimistic that Julia and Sam can both return.
With Allie, obviously we breathe a type of sigh of relief. It's still cancer, and again, these are fictional characters, but it is a very, very treatable form of cancer in breast cancer. But she still has this battle in front of her.
She does, and I will just repeat what you said, that we can be a little flippant with these fictional characters in a way that we wouldn't be with a real flesh and blood person. I think that this episode did not quite earn the hook of last episode, her walking stunned out of the oncology ward. I'm not saying that that was unrealistic, but there's a certain TV code of, oh man, it's really, really, really bad. And then the diagnosis here, you know, again, not trying to be flippant, but she is a pretend person. The diagnosis, as you say, Pete, very treatable, very manageable. I can tell clearly because it is a network drama. Of course, they're gearing up for a multi-episode thing that's going to put characters emotionally through the ringer, as indeed one does in a drama. So maybe there is that maybe baked into the premise is that it's going to get worse, even though this episode did not sell it as bad as it will get. But again, to go from last episode where it's like, you know, she's walking out of there and it's like, have you been told get your affairs in order? Have you been told, you know, we just caught it and it's already spreading? Instead, it seems, thankfully, to be a single instance and treatable.
We have discussed in previous podcasts the increasingly questionable ethics with which our group is going about getting information to help the friend's suggestions. But violation of HIPAA here, or cloning phones now. I think we've reached a red alert, high water point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends how real your technology is that you're using. You know, I think of Knight Rider, and if, you know, that show in a certain sense is evergreen because we're just as far away now from, you know, AI car, not self-driving, okay, that's out there, but, you know, Kit as a character with then all these lasers and grappling hooks and anything that you need, that's as far away now as it was in the early 80s. So you can do crazy things in Knight Rider, like this episode calls for a ye oldie doubloon cleaner that's always been somewhere in the car, and now we need it for this one episode, because it's all kind of ridiculous. Godfriended Me, though, ostensibly is taking place in our world, and they are definitely the ease to which there's just convenient backdoors in to now hack medical records. You know, that's one thing. The clonability of a phone, again, I don't know in the real world how possible that is, but I kind of, let me put it this way, Pete. I feel like the story is pushing Rakesh to a straining point in that he can give magic technology answers whenever the episode requires it, and he can do so in the space, not even of an act break, just a scene change. Miles is now going to go there, and then Rakesh will call to say, I have fully done a clone thing on his phone, and they just need to be in proximity. 15 years ago, 10 years ago, Rakesh would have been doing James Bond Q type stuff. Now this show just passing it off as it's what he can do because he's good with, you know, the tech.
I'm fine with it if there's some level of accountability, or if they even establish, okay, that is something we cannot do or we choose not to do. Could we? Yes, but we won't. And if you build in the accountability, like, does Rakesh, as he's attempting, you know, we name checked it in this episode, the Soulmate app, does cloning a phone in episode 212 come back to bite him in 216, and suddenly he's facing story pressure because he's had these ethical lapses, albeit seemingly trying to get to the bottom of this God account. I think that might be turning a gray area into a story win.
Maybe, although I feel like because of the nature of how this show is using technology, I have a little bit of a hard time thinking that they would double back, you know, to continue with this Knight Rider analogy. That's like saying, well, surely there will be an episode where somebody says, this is technology that we just can't have out there. It needs to be brought in by the military and classified. And you could go there, but that's not to the spirit of that show, which is, you know, lone cowboy on his talking horse out there doing good episode by episode. Same thing here. The notion of, whoop, whoop, here's the FBI to say, now there's stakes for Rakesh. It certainly is not impossible, Pete. But I just feel like the way most of these episodes are set up, Rakesh is your guy in the chair, and it would be a, maybe not a drastic, but it would be a reshaping of the show to somehow take away that. However, you do mention Rakesh and his app. Pete, here's a theory question for you. Joy is back. Her and Rakesh are now going on missions. That's 2/3 of a triangle. Do we do a triangle type romance, Rakesh, Joy, and Jaya?
Oh, and tell me, Rakesh, how is the situation with Jaya?
Completely off screen for the most part. However, status quo. I mean, I feel like that's an area where the show definitely could be headed. And you know what? The show is better off having Joy in it than not. I certainly enjoy Jaya's presence greatly in the show. I think in terms of dramatic stakes moving forward, do I think they're going to circle back to, and Rakesh and Jaya set aside their differences and rediscover their love? Or, you know, do you milk 3 episodes of Will They or Won't They out of Rakesh and Joy, and then at the end of the season, they will. Oh, and now Joy is joining the cast full-time for season 3. I think one of those two is more likely than the other.
Yeah, and I like that you have these permutations of characters that you can do that with. I mean, listen, we obviously haven't had a ton of Joy story stuff. Her contributions were biggest in the beginning of the season leading up to the rediscovery of her daughter that she put up for adoption. She's gotten her career back on track. She's come back here. All right, maybe sparks fly with Rakesh. Maybe it's just a way to move his story forward in terms of his personal life as he's continuing to work on the God account.
Pete, one more from me, and one that had me actually doing some reflecting today. The show here presents the supposition that with embryos in storage, it's essentially impossible for Julia and Sam to get a divorce without those embryos being destroyed by nature of the clause of their agreement with the fertility clinic. I had considered reaching out to one of the two people who I know in my sphere of the world who have gone through fertility type things, and then ultimately it was like, Yeah, I don't think I need to reach out to them regarding this show that we podcast. Good news in both cases, the ladies, you know, a child, one here, one on the way, that kind of thing. But it strikes me as a little difficult to believe that in the state of New York, it would be required to destroy these embryos because these two people who contributed towards it have gotten a divorce.
I can't imagine there wouldn't be some opportunity for the two sides to figure out, all right, the embryo could be best used, obviously, by the woman, implanted in her, implanted into a surrogate, or if it was amicable enough and perhaps the wife, the ex-wife, didn't want children, that the ex-husband could take it. And again, a surrogate situation. It felt slightly forced in terms of a story obstacle and the seeming betrayal of she had the last embryo implanted. I don't think it was as big a sin as was portrayed on the episode. The reaction felt, for me, a little melodramatic.
And I think somewhat connected to that, to me, Miles was pushing for this marriage to stay together. He was pushing just a tad too much. Certainly, you know, in a functioning relationship, two-parent household, easier, if nothing else, when there's a child on the way. But there was kind of this, I felt like Miles was veering into, you know, and woman, ye shall remain married, for ye shall have a baby, versus doesn't Julia have agency over most of this, like choice to be a mother or not, choice to be married or not?
We know level-headedly the, you know, inappropriate cliche that troubles in a marriage, well, just order up a baby. That'll fix everything. We know that logic is flawed. And we see this in the story tea leaves, like, this isn't going to work out. I'm glad they kept it realistic, not like we're going to have the baby. We're going to stay together for the baby, and we're going to move all for the baby, which seems to, as you're, supposing here, take a lot of the agency away from Julia. They kept it real. I think a lot of the viewers, and we have tweets to that effect, that they kept it real. Okay, they wanted the child. They're going to have this child. They are both parents to the child. They're going to move. They're not going to be together in a married sense, but they're both going to remain in each other's lives for this child. It felt like a natural extension of our world.
What else is on your radar for this episode?
You know, the profit business has come back here. The idea that if Miles renounces love and becomes the prophet of the God account, that, you know, he can get everything he needs to happen. I feel it's a little over simplistic. I also feel like it hasn't quite been delineated to us what that entails. You know, we had Gideon earlier in the season. He had been told that, you become the God account's prophet. You have to swear off love. He could do it, but for only so long. And it comes back into his life. And obviously, his wife is sore at him for even considering it, as much as he enjoyed and took satisfaction in helping people. But here we are with this again. I'm glad Kara put her foot down and said, well, no, I'm not going anywhere. I am with you. And we know the mystery of this account. We know it works in mysterious ways, yet we know it also helps people. Why can't we have it all?
Add to that, I think that this was an episode that may have in a certain telling of it or edit or drafts may have not given Kara a lot to do. And I think that in this moment that you're referring to, Pete, where she is affirming her dedication to her friend Miles, to her romantic interest Miles, to the measured good, caused by the account, I think the episode would have been lesser if she said, well, then now I need to leave if you can't accept me for me. Cue sad, downbeat music. Like, it's more realistic for her to say, well, we're going to work this out in whatever the relationship is. We're going to work this out. And meanwhile, this may be the spirit of Almighty God helping improve the lives of people, or it might just be some wacko with computer code, but we kind of seem to keep helping people, so let's keep doing that.
So what are we left with? This hacker in apartment 4G who they met in the previous episode. We've not been given a name.
The hacker is how he was identified. The hacker with a capital and a capital H.
How much of what we were told was under false pretenses? And we're going to catch up with him at some point, February 16th, if not later, to try to run down this mystery.
Well, and I think two thoughts. First of all, knowing that the show would be off the air for a month, I did watch the next time on,
and
the fact that they showed the card that
this
normally would
Matt
say stay tuned.
Lafferty, fantastic geek first.
Well, Pete, it's because I knew there wasn't. I was curious. Here's my bottom line.
Oh, now we're equivocating.
I know you
do this once, and then you're spoiler Pete.
I know, you know, our listeners know that this break has been expected for some time. I think we've been talking about it since the middle of December. But I feel for the average person who, whether they're a football fan or not, next week is going to tune in. Actually, I think CBS has the early games. They're going to tune in to whatever it might be in a week's time and say, oh, where's Godfrey? Oh, yeah, well, it is the sports season. So, okay, next week. And they're going to tune in 2 weeks later. And as opposed to, on February 16th, when God Friended Me returns, I just feel like that's how you back up your audience a little bit. People are going to tune in next Sunday at 8 and watch an NCIS episode and be a little confused. And I just think that you're not doing right by your audience to not say when they're coming back.
Lastly, Matt, the song that Arthur and Trish chose for their wedding, At Last by Etta James, of course, a classic wedding song, a classic song in general. But here is my theory. Did the God account know that I had also used that with my lovely bride as our wedding song, knowing that I would podcast this show 18 years later?
Pete, the answer is yes, because the account is all-seeing and all-knowing.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, first tweet up is from Dr. Bob Keeley, who says, is anyone else getting a little creeped out by how invasive they're getting? Finding out she's pregnant is a massive breach of privacy.
Yeah, as I indicated before, I'm a little uncomfortable how far they seem willing to go to get information about the friend requests. I feel like the writer's room at some point needs to make a statement with how far they won't go.
A couple more tweets here. The first one from James at Big Killin, who says, loved it. Love every character. Personally, I would have waited until Monday to dig into everyone's business, but that's why I'm not a prophet. And a tweet from Fritz Klug, that's at Fritz Klug. Great episode. Unlike others, it took much from previous episodes at a fast pace. While I wasn't happy with Julia and Sam's ending, it was one of the most real conclusions to a friend's suggestion. Could GFM have more unpredictable moments? Things might not end like we always think. Last one, Pete, is from Peter, that's at Tweet Scala. My heart truly breaks for Miles and Allie during this sad time for them. At the same time, I'm happy for Arthur and Trish.
It's that mixed bag. And, we had our first ever episode two back. Didn't have the trademark God Friended Me uplift. And here with an uncertain future, I think it would be disingenuous if they came to it at the end of the episode. And miracle cure for Allie. And also, we have Hacker Guy, and see you next week, everybody, or in 3-4 weeks as the schedule sets up. No, I think this formula gets people coming back for more.
Well, Pete, keeping us going across the 4 weeks that there won't be Godfriend and Me, and indeed keeping us going for those weeks where we will be podcasting other things like Star Trek Picard. All of it supported, Pete, by those who visit us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek.
Everybody who contributes gets access to exclusive podcast content, more coming all the time. All it takes is a dollar to get you in that door. Can't contribute? That's fine. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating, a review. Costs nothing. Takes seconds.
And thanks, as always, to those who not only support us, but have clicked that subscribe button. That keeps us all together as our GodPod squad. Pete, all sorts of goodies galore to be had on the Patreon, but there's one that's always free that's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, 11,054 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on FantasticGeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, where we are Fantastic Geek as well. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/FantasticGeek. All one word, with the P, with the H. Like it today.
Pete, the God Friended Me podcast will return on February 17th. That's the Monday after the next episode. Until then, over on the Pop Culture Podcast feed, over on the Star Trek Picard feed, for us, we got 1, 2, 3, 4 episodes of that series lined up in the next month, and super excited about that. But for today, Pete, the time has come for me to say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Marriage is a gift from God to us. The quality of our marriages is a gift from us to Him.